This is a Bible study on Brother Peter. And, of course, it's not exhaustive or comprehensive and everything that can be said, not at all. But he had an interesting experience, and I believe it's relevant to us today. And so it's on his repentance and the experience that he went through and what it means to us today. So let's start quickly with Mark chapter 14. And Mark chapter 14, Jesus is trying to explain to the disciples that he is going to go to Jerusalem and he's going to be killed, you know, and he's going to be buried and resurrected. And this does not fit their narrative, their ideology, their concept. And they've heard him say this repeatedly, and he says it more and more often, especially this last week of his earthly sojourn. And so Mark 14 is describing this. So they're up in the upper room, they have the Lord's Supper, and Jesus is breaking bread, and he says, "This is my body, broken for you, take and eat it." He's talking about the cross. And then they drink the grape juice. "This is my blood, which is shed for you, drink it. And I will not drink no more of this fruit of this vine until that day that I drink it new with you in the kingdom of God." Then they went out. Now the disciples are listening to all of this. And, you know, they just went through the triumphal entry, all of the stuff. And this is on Thursday, right? And so they had sung us a hymn, and then they went and left the upper room and out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after I am risen," he says to them, "I will go before you into Galilee." So he's telling them that he's going to be smitten. It was written of him in Zechariah. And then he's encouraging them. And we got to be listening to these things too. We're living at the end of time. And so they needed to listen very closely. But here's what Peter says in verse 29. "But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I." Now, who's the all is he talking about? Is he talking about everybody in the entire human race? Is he talking about me and you? No, he's talking about the other disciples. See? And you'll see this dynamic in Mark chapter 9, Matthew 18, where they were arguing amongst themselves, the disciples, that is, of who's the greatest, who was there first, who's the closest to Jesus, who's going to have the highest position. They sought great things for themselves because they had a misconception of the mission of Christ, the Messiah, and of the kingdom of God. And so Peter is displaying this right before our very eyes. He's saying, these guys, in other words, he's saying, these guys here, they may be offended by you, what's going to happen here, but not me, see, because I'm better than they are. That's what he's basically saying. I'm better than they are. Now, we know what Jesus says to him, and Jesus saith unto him, "Verily I say unto you, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me three times." But Peter didn't catch it. You would think by now, after more than 3 years, right? What does he say now? How does he respond to that? What should he have said? We'll look at that. But what did he say? We're looking at that as well. Verse 31, "But he spake even the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise, also said they all." Okay? Now, that's the experience that they had up to that very moment. Now, we're going to listen to the pen of inspiration, giving us some details. This is crucial. This is something that we need to listen to in our experience. Now, let me just share this. The disciples all left everything to follow Jesus. We've studied this with the other disciples, with Peter and his brother, Andrew, and John, and James, and Levi, Matthew, and others. Left all. Forsaken all. Their business, you know, their livelihoods and everything. They followed Jesus. They loved Jesus. We were told that. They're the family of Jesus here. Okay? But they were confused, and they had misunderstandings, and it affected their ability to have strong faith for the test that was coming upon them very quickly. Now, we need to learn from these. That we're not better in any way. We are the same fallen human nature as these folks are. We have the same problems. Okay. We might have said, and you've heard this comment, well, if I'd have been there, I wouldn't have this. Well, you don't know that. Right now, the Lord Jesus is speaking to us. Let's listen. And so we're going to listen to the pen of inspiration about this very experience here. Now, this is The Desire of Ages. Phenomenal, fantastic, marvelous book. And it's the chapter, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. It's an awesome chapter. I could give multiple Bible studies just out of this chapter alone. But we're only going to take a piece out of this and apply it to Mark chapter 14. And we're going to touch on the experience of Peter. Now, let's pick up the narrative here in page 672, and it says, at the bottom of the page, it says, in his discourse, Jesus' discourse to the disciples, Jesus made no mournful allusion to his own sufferings and death. His last legacy to them was a legacy of peace. You know, he wasn't complaining. He wasn't depressed. Another place it says, with eager steps he went to Jerusalem. In Hebrews 12, it says, for the joy that was set before him, he despised the shame. So here, she's saying, his last legacy to them was of peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth to you, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So before leaving the upper chamber, the Savior led his disciples in a song of praise. Isn't that amazing? A song of praise. The Lord Jesus' voice, his voice, was heard not in the strains of some mournful lament, but in the joyful notes of the Passover hail. It's in Psalms 117. Here it is. This is the hymn that they sung. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. That's the entire human race. Praise him, all ye people. That's everybody. Every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every people. Why? For his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. It was a joyful praise. After the hymn, they went out. Through the crowded streets, they made their way, passing out of the city gate toward the Mount of Olives. Slowly, they proceeded, and each of the disciples were busy with their own thoughts. They were thinking of a lot about what is going on here. What's happening? They're singing joyfully. Jesus is talking about dying. You know. As they began to descend toward the mount, Jesus said in a tone of deepest sadness. This is what he says to them. All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Keep that word in mind. The sheep of the flock. Who's the sheep? The disciples. Keep that thought in your mind. Shall be scattered because of being offended. The disciples listened in sorrow and amazement. They remembered how, in a synagogue at Capernaum, when Christ spoke of himself as the bread of life, and many had been offended and had turned away from him, but the 12, remember what Jesus said, will ye also leave me? But the 12 had not shown themselves unfaithful. Peter, speaking for his brethren, had then declared his loyalty to Christ. And the Savior had said, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? John 6. In the upper chamber, before they had left the upper room, Jesus said that one of the 12 would betray him, and that Peter would deny him. He said all of this in the upper chamber. But now his words included them all. You will all scatter and deny me. Now Peter, of course, this is, we're talking about Peter here. His voice is heard vehemently protesting. Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. He's talking about all these other guys here. He still thought he was more faithful than the others, more deserving. He still had that fleshly idea. In the upper chamber, he said, he had declared, I will lay down my life for thy sake. Now Jesus had warned him that very night he would deny his Savior. Now Christ repeats the warning. He says, verily I say unto thee that this day, even in this night, before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me three times. But Peter, again, we just read it in Mark, spake even the more vehemently. Vehemently. If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. And likewise also said they all. Mark chapter 14, verses 29, 30, and 31. In, this is important for us to listen right here. In their self-confidence, they denied the repeated statement of him who knew. They were unprepared for the test. When temptation should overtake them, they would understand their own weakness. See, she's not talking about eating an extra donut temptation, or looking at a lady walking by kind of temptation, or, you know, any of these other regular, what we, you know, their temptations, they're sinful, yes. But she's talking about the temptation of their faith to cave into doubt, lose their bearings. Like this whole 3 years was like, wow, what happened? We were deceived. Maybe he wasn't the Christ. Oh, that kind of temptation. That's a very scary temptation. They were not prepared for it. They did not understand their own weakness. When Peter said he would follow his Lord to prison and to death, he meant it. He meant every word of it. But he did not know himself. Do we know ourselves? You know, do we have a high opinion of ourselves? I'm not talking about we could be either suicidal, want to kill ourselves, or be so proud of ourselves that we think we're better than everybody else. No, those are two ditches. But do we really know what our weaknesses are? Can we trust ourselves? They did not know themselves. He did not know himself. Okay. Hidden in Peter's heart were elements of evil that circumstances would fan into life. See. When we're sitting in a pew listening to a good sermon or having a potluck with our friends, having a nice visit. There's not anything happening. But when you're in certain circumstances, and I've been in those, and all of a sudden you're losing your cool, things are happening. We don't understand the evil that is hidden in our hearts. Unless, she says, that Peter was made conscious of his danger, this would prove his eternal ruin. Okay? Unless he was made conscious of his danger, this would prove his eternal ruin. The Savior saw in him a self-love and assurance that would overbear even his love for Christ. When we're so blessed by Jesus, yet our pride and our self-love will overbear that. We'll still do stupid anyhow. And you don't think we don't have that in us? Now, maybe some of you don't. Bless your heart. Maybe some of us need to really think about this. Much of infirmity, of unmortified sin, carelessness of spirit, unsanctified temper, heedlessness in entering into temptation had been revealed in Peter's experience. Any of those strike a note with you? Christ's solemn warning was a call to Peter for heart searching. This is the time of the cleansing of the most holy place, sanctuary. 1844, remember that? It's a time of heart searching. Not to become discouraged and hopeless, no, but to be honest. There's stuff in us that ought to scare us. Peter needed to distrust himself. We can put our name right there. We're talking about Peter, but I could put Raymond needed to distrust himself. You could put your name there. Do we need to distrust ourselves? We can't trust our own faith. We can't trust our own, love, our own good capabilities. We might have good talents and skills. We can't trust them. In other words, lean on them. Depend upon them. When the Lord tells us that we're poor, blind, miserable, and naked and wretched, we need to believe him. Not trust ourselves. And whatever we have, whatever good thing we have, if we have faith, if we have love, if we've done something right, if the Lord has blessed us and used us, we can say praise the Lord, but we don't trust in that. We don't depend upon that. Peter needed to distrust himself and to have a deeper faith in who? In Christ. This is the kind of faith we all need to have. We need to have a deeper faith in Christ. Now, here's what Peter should have done, and this is what... Now, Peter's dead, okay? He's waiting for the resurrection. And he did gain the victory over this. But right now, we're alive, and this is the lesson that we need to learn, and this is what he should have done. And this is what we need to do. We don't want it to be something that we should have done when it was too late. No, let's do it now. Here's what he should have done. Had he in humility, what's that word? Humility, received the warning. Be humble. Don't say, oh, no, not me. These other guys will turn on you, but not me. I'll never do that. No. In humility, received the warning. He would have appealed to the shepherd of the flock to keep his sheep. Amen. When the Lord says to you and me, you are blind, then say, Lord, help me. Lord, I commit my blindness unto you, Father, for thou hast said I'm blind. I don't care if you think you can see or not. He says it is so. And if he says it's so, it's so. If he says you're naked, it's so. If he says you're miserable, it is so. If he says you're wretched, it is so. then commit the keeping of your soul in every one of those descriptions to him who is faithful. Had he in humility received the warning, he would have appealed to the shepherd of the flock to keep his sheep. When Peter was on the Sea of Galilee, he was about to sink, and he cried. Remember what he said in Matthew 14? Lord, save me! And what happened? Then the hand of Christ was outstretched to grasp his hand. So now, when Peter's boasting, so now, if Peter would have cried to Jesus, save me from myself, he would have been kept. And if we pray that prayer, brothers and sisters, I guarantee you, we will be kept. God will save us. He knows how to do that, you know. But Peter felt that he was being distrusted, and he thought it was cruel. He was already offended, and he became even more persistent in his self-confidence. Okay? Now, this is important, amazing, important stuff. So we know the rest of the story. That's another Bible study, how when Jesus was arrested and so on, and Peter did do the rooster crowed and three times, even with swearing. Right? Now let's move the narrative. This is important. Again, after the resurrection, let's see what happened to Peter in all that time. This is amazing. Now we're in John chapter 21. This is after the resurrection. This is what Jesus told them. I will go before you in Mark 14, and I'll meet you in Galilee. Now, they went through a lot. Their faith was tested. That's a whole other Bible study. But we fast forward it now. After the resurrection, Jesus had spent time with the disciples. Praise the Lord. This is in John chapter 1. And in chapter 21, excuse me, did I say chapter 1? Chapter 21, I'm sorry. Chapter 21, it's the last chapter of the Gospel of John. And so here Jesus had dinner with the disciples. And in verse 12, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. So Jesus comes in verse 13, taketh bread and giveth them and fish. And so this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after that when he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus now talks to Peter again. Now remember the Peter that said, oh no, not me, right? He did. He did. He did deny the Lord. Now Jesus asks Peter a question. This is very powerful. He says, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? You still think you're better than your brothers? Huh? Because he said that in Mark chapter 14. Maybe they will. Not me. All right, Peter, you still feel the same way? Lovest thou me? How does Peter answer him? He saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. Then what does Jesus say? Then feed my lambs. Pay attention to this. This is very important. Who are his lambs? Then it says, again he saith unto him, the second time, Simon, lovest thou me? And Peter says, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. Then Jesus says, now he says, feed my sheep. Lambs, sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep. Now, we're going to look at some parallels here that I think will be a blessing to us. And then he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, do you love me? And Peter says, Lord, you know all things. See, when Jesus told Peter, you don't know yourself. I know you're saying, and you mean every word of it, that you won't deny me. But you did. See, because you didn't know the evil that's in your hearts. What is Peter saying now to Jesus? Thou knowest all things. See, he's not boasting anymore. He's not saying, not me, Lord. You got me wrong on this one. Not I. Oh, no. No, no, no. He says, Lord, you tell the truth. You know all things. And you would know that I love you. Okay? And thou knowest that I love thee. And again, Jesus says unto him, then feed my sheep. Then feed my sheep. Now, we can go through all the texts, but for time's sake, those are another Bible study. In Mark chapter 9, Mark, or Matthew chapter 18, and so on, they strove amongst themselves as to who was the greatest. Was there any feeding of the sheep at that time? No. They might have even thought, I wish this guy wasn't even here. You know, every time we sit down with Jesus, this guy beats me to the spot I want to sit. You know, but what about the upper room? When there was time to wash feet, they're all sitting there looking at each other. I'm not going to do this. What? And they all had thinking on each other. Who are the sheep? It's the brethren. And the lambs are the young in faith that come afterwards. See? But if we can't love each other as brethren, how in the world are we ever going to nurture those that are young in the faith that are first coming in? Feed my sheep. Instead of striving for the supremacy of who's the greatest and elbowing our way to sitting closest to Christ and having a throne and getting glory and praise and applause, feed my sheep. Do you think we have anything to feed each other with? Oh, we do. Now let's read what the pen of inspiration has to say about this. Again, Desire of Ages, page 811. While Christ and his disciples were eating together by the seaside, having dinner, Christ prepared it for them. The Savior said to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me now more than these? You know, remember what Peter said in Mark 14? Maybe they'll all. So do you love me more than they do now? Referring to his brethren. Peter had once declared, though all men, he means all the disciples, the people standing there around Jesus, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended, Matthew 26. But now he put a truer estimate upon himself. Peter was humbled. He had no idea this kind of evil was in his heart. Do we have any idea the kind of evil that's in our hearts? We may have some ideas about some, but there's other stuff inside of us. The Lord in his mercy has not revealed to us yet. God is so good, isn't he? He knows everything about us. Yet he still loves us, and yet he still has a plan for us. And yet he still wants us to be part of his family. And so he's saying to Peter, do you love me, Peter, more than these? And Peter puts a truer estimate upon himself. Yea, Lord, he says, thou knowest that I love you. There is no vehement assurance that his love is greater than that of his brethren. Have you ever thought you love the Lord more than your brothers and sisters do? And maybe some of you have. Maybe some of you don't even think you love the Lord. So this isn't your problem. But at some point, as God starts to use us and we have a little success, we might think we're a little more closer to the Lord and our work is more important than anybody else's. Careful. Careful. He does not now, when Jesus, after the resurrection, express his own opinion of his devotion to him who can read all the motives of the heart. Peter appeals to judge as to his sincerity. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus bids him, feed my lambs. See? Jesus knew this all about Peter. He told Peter, yes, you're saying it right now, and you mean every word of it. You're not going to be offended. You're going to stand for me. You're going to die for me. You're going to do all. Right, right, right. I got that. And I believe that you really mean that. But you don't understand. There's stuff in you that is going to be fanned out, and it'll just crush you. Almost nearly cost you your eternal destiny, your eternal life. See, you need to trust me when I tell you something. And when you do that, now it's not that now Peter was perfect and he was all set, good to go. No, no. He did not trust himself anymore. He trusted who instead? The Lord. And then the Lord says, now because of that one conviction, that one change in your character, no longer trusting in your talents, your conviction, your faith, your experience, your this, that, and so on. Now you know that you can't trust yourself, but you can only trust him who loves you so dearly. Now you can feed my sheep. Now you can break bread with them. Now I can give you light, safe to give you light. See, now because you won't get proud about that light. You won't get like you're a big honcho. You're in charge because you've got more understanding of the scriptures than anybody else. Everybody's got to bow and stand at attention and are thankful when you come into the room and all that. No, no, you deflect. You're low key. You're humble. You're constantly deflecting glory to God, glory to Christ, glory to the Father, not to yourself. You know who you are. You're a sinner. Saved by grace. Period. That's it. Hallelujah. See. Jesus bids him, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus applied the test to Peter, repeating his former words. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? This time he did not ask Peter whether he loved his brethren better than, or loved him, excuse me. This time he did not ask Peter whether he loved him better than did his brethren. The second response was like the first, free from the extravagant assurance. Yea, Lord, he says, thou knowest that I love you. Then Jesus says, feed my sheep. Once more, the Savior put the trying question, Simon, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he thought that maybe Jesus doubted his love. He knew that his Lord had cause to distrust him because after all, he did cave. And with an aching heart, he said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And then Jesus says, feed my sheep. See, if you don't trust yourself, but you trust the Lord, then you are capable of feeding his sheep. Now, his sheep can be your brethren that you're working with. Sheep can be the pagan outside the door, the heathen, the people down the street. That's how you become qualified to feed sheep. You're safe for God to give you food to feed with. Because why? You won't take the glory to yourself. God will honor you. People will be blessed by you. They'll be thankful for what they're hearing from you because they haven't gotten to the place where you're at yet. They haven't taken the time to study what you're studying. They haven't went to the meetings that you went to. They haven't read the books and studied and had all these experiences as you have had. But they're hungry, and they're God's people, and they're just first learning all of this. And so you're not going to take any of that glory to yourself at all, ever. Because you're no different than they are. You just found something out before they did. And all you're doing is sharing it with them. That's it. See, feed my sheep. Feed your brethren now. If you think you love me more than them, then feed them with the light I'm giving to you, brother. See? Feed them. Feed them. Three times Peter had openly denied his Lord. Remember, before the rooster crowed twice? Three times. And three times Jesus asked him that question in John 21. Pressing home that pointed question, like a barbed arrow to Peter's wounded heart. Before the assembled disciples, Jesus revealed the depth of Peter's repentance. Peter was a different person. He would not take any glory to himself. And these disciples knew Peter. They argued with him for 3 years of who was the greatest. And Peter was the loudest, demanding, arrogant of all of them. He would scream and yell. I don't know exactly the details, but he was there first. He was the first one, and blah, 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 and I was here before you, and I deserve, and on and on and on. See? But now, he's not like that anymore. And so before the other disciples, the Lord is showing you can have confidence in Peter, guys, because he's not that boastful guy that you knew that you thought you knew so well. See, and I'm going to give him light that's going to bless you. And you'll all bless each other. Instead of striving for the supremacy, you're going to end up being a blessing to each other. And they did. This is John 21. They weren't in the upper room yet. They will be. When Jesus said, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you shall receive power from on high. That's another Bible study, remember? And so for those 10 days, what did they do? They confessed their faults to one another. What faults? Well, when they were striving for the supremacy, when they were elbowing and vying for position, arguing amongst themselves who was the greatest, misunderstanding the kingdom of God, mourning that they didn't take advantage of the precious time that they had with Jesus. Weeping, confessing their errors, and humbling their souls before God. And then what happened? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And who was the first person that jumped out of the door out in the street and preached? What was his name? Do you remember? Peter. Brother Peter. Before the assembled disciples, Jesus revealed the depth of Peter's repentance and showed how thoroughly humbled was the once boasting disciple. See, that's it. This isn't, you know, rocket science here. This is simple stuff. Jesus wants to give us so much light and blessing to share with others. We just need to be humble. Peter was naturally forward and impulsive, and Satan had taken advantage of these characteristics to overthrow him. Just before the fall of Peter, Jesus said to him, Satan hath desired to have you, Peter, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that thy faith fails not. There's faith again. This is a definition of the faith of Jesus. Did Jesus' faith fail him when Satan sought to sift him on the cross and in the Garden of Gethsemane? No. Even when the Father was silent. And God wants us to have that same kind of faith in him. And so I prayed that your faith would fail you not. And when thou art converted, here again is what it means to feed thy sheep. It says, when thou art converted, do what? This is Luke 22. Strengthen thy brethren, not weaken your brethren, not divide yourself with strife among your brethren, not think evil of your brethren, thinking you're better than your brethren. Strengthen your brethren. Then you can strengthen those that are outside of the faith, that are newly come to the faith. But if you can't do that with each other, how are you ever going to do that for the world? strengthen your brethren. Luke 22:31-32. That time had now come, and the transformation in Peter was evident. The close testing questions of the Lord had not called out one forward, self-sufficient reply. And because of his humiliation and repentance, Peter was better prepared than ever before to act as a shepherd of the flock. The first work that Christ entrusted to Peter on restoring him to the ministry was to feed the lambs. This was a work that Peter had little experience. It would require great care, tenderness, much patience, perseverance. He had to learn how to minister to those young in the faith, to teach the ignorant, open the scriptures to them, educate them for usefulness in Christ's service. Heretofore, Peter had not been fitted to do this or even understand its importance, but now this was the work which Jesus had called him to do. For this work, his own experience of suffering and repentance had prepared him. Before his fall, Peter was always speaking unadvisedly. From the impulse of the moment, he was always ready to correct others and to express his mind before he had a clear comprehension of himself or what he even had to say. But the converted Peter was very different. He retained his former fervor, but the grace of Christ regulated his zeal. He was no longer impetuous, self-confident, self-exalted, but instead he was calm, self-possessed, teachable. He could then feed the lambs as well as the sheep of Christ's flock. And so, this is awesome information. Awesome information. A transformation had taken place in Peter's life. God wants a transformation to take place in our lives. We need to, first of all, trust him and not ourselves. We need to understand that he's telling us there's things in our heart that we don't know about. But he has the solution before we even know what it is. He says, buy of me gold tried in the fire. Learn of me, for I am lowly in heart. Heretofore, as we close, Peter had only known Christ after the flesh. The Messiah, you are up. Right? Going to overthrow the Romans. Superpower. We're all going to have thrones. Heretofore, Peter had only known Christ after the flesh, as many now know him, but he was no more to be thus limited. He knew him no more as he had known him in his association with him in humanity. This is very important for us to understand right here. Peter had loved him as a man, as a heaven-sent teacher. But now he loved him as God. Do you hear that? Why is the divinity of Christ being challenged right now? By the devil? That's what this anti-Trinitarian thing is. He's a lesser God. He came forth and he popped up in eternity. You know, all that nonsense. But now Peter loved him as God. He had been learning the lesson that to him, Christ was all in all. But now he was prepared to share in his Lord's mission of sacrifice. When at last brought to the cross, he was, at his own request, crucified with his head downward. He thought it too great an honor to suffer in the same way as his master did. to Peter, the words "follow me" were full of instruction. Not only for his death, when Jesus said that he was going to die this death. You know, he told that Peter that he was going to die a terrible death. Let me read it to you. Page 815, Desire of Ages. Peter had failed the test when the test came, but again he was to have an opportunity to prove his love for Christ, that he might be strengthened for the final test of his faith. The Savior opened to him his future. He told him that after living a life of usefulness, and we read about in the book of Acts and so on, after a life of usefulness, when age was telling upon his strength, he would indeed follow his Lord. Jesus said, "When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake Jesus, signifying by what death Peter should glorify God with. And so the Lord opened that up to him. And sure enough, when Peter got older, that's what happened to him. He thought it too great an honor to suffer in the same way that Jesus did. And he asked to be crucified upside down. The words that Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me," was full of instruction, not only for his death, but for every step of his life was the lesson given. Hereth too, Peter had been inclined to act independently. He had tried to plan the work of God instead of waiting to follow out God's plan. But he could gain nothing by rushing on before the Lord. Jesus bids him, "Follow me. Do not run ahead of me. Then you will not have the hosts of Satan to meet all by yourself. Let me go before you, and you will not be overcome by the enemy." See. And so this was a very important lesson for Peter to learn. In closing, this last statement from Desire of Ages, in the midst of all this instruction in the last week of Jesus on the earth, he also promised them the Holy Spirit. Page 672. Christ had promised the gift of the Holy Spirit to his church, and the promise belongs to us as much as to the first disciples. But like every other promise, it is given on conditions. This is what it means to follow Jesus. This is what it means when Peter was transformed and converted and able to feed his brethren. This is what it means to follow Jesus and to receive the Holy Spirit. And so, like every promise, it belongs to us as well, but it is also given on condition. There are many who believe and profess to claim the Lord's promise. They talk about Christ and about the Holy Spirit, yet they receive no benefit. This is not us hammering somebody because they're a hypocrite and all that. Forget that. Stay away from that. Quit judging people. We're talking about receiving a benefit here. There's a benefit. What's the benefit? Here it is. They do not surrender the soul to be guided and controlled by divine agencies. In our last study, we talked about Jesus said his meat was to do the will of him that sent me. He was guided and controlled by the Holy Spirit and by the Father. So are we to be guided and controlled as well. We cannot use the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is to use us. Through the Spirit, God works in his people to will and to do of his good pleasure. But many will not submit to this. They want to manage themselves. This is why they do not receive the heavenly gift. That's why the latter rain was resisted in 1880s and 1890s, because the brethren wanted to manage themselves. They didn't want to submit to themselves, submit to this. Only those who wait humbly upon God and who watch for his guidance and grace is the Spirit given. The power of God awaits their demand and reception. This promised blessing, claimed by faith, brings all other blessings in its train. It is given according to the riches of the graces of Christ, and he is ready to supply every soul according to the capacity to receive. That's what they did in the upper room. See? They finally surrendered the control of their lives to the Lord. They no longer managed themselves. That's the new covenant, folks. I will be their God. I will write their law upon my law upon their hearts. That's what it means. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Revelation 14, verses 1 through 5. This is the story of Peter. It's our story as well. We could learn from Peter's experience. We don't have to go through a crushing experience like Peter did. We could learn right here, right now. Why fight the Lord? He's our friend. He's looking out for us. He's not our enemy. He loves us dearly. Let him have control of your life right now. I'm speaking to myself more than anybody. He'll never disappoint you. It might appear we're going through a trial here, and this sounds terrible, but it's not. You'll come through just fine. Peter did. Certainly Jesus did, and so will you. May God get all the glory. May he be blessed forever is my prayer, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.